Take your Bibles tonight, turn to the book of Corinthians. It's going to be kind of a probably an odd start, but it's the way God's leading me to start in this message tonight. The Lord put this on my heart last week. I shared it with a friend whom I dearly love. And when the missionary was preaching on Sunday night, the Lord actually Sunday night confirmed in my heart that this is what he wanted me to share with the Bible Way Church tonight. The Bible said in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 1, if you found it, say amen. If you haven't found it, say oh me. Okay. At least there's honest people in the congregation. Amen. It's easier for me to find Corinthians than it is to find those minor prophets. I get all messed up over there. Amen. Anyway, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. How many knows it's good to be in the will of God? And Timothy, our brother, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, with all the saints which are at all Achaia. And grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and, say it with me, the God of all comfort. Look at verse 4. Who comforteth us in most of our tribulation. I didn't read that right, did I? Who comforteth us in some of our tribulation. Is that what it said? No, it said all, didn't it? Who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in, what's that next word? Any trouble. By the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. Tonight, what I wanted to do in the onset of the message is point you to a text that shows us there's no reason why that what I'm going to preach tonight should be the case in the life of the child of God. I'm going to be looking at the word miserable. Would somebody like to guess how many times the word miserable, somebody besides Brother Steve, I just told him a while ago. Somebody like to guess, Coulter, you know too, don't you? See, when God shows me something, I can't help it, can I, Cold? Amen. All right, you keep your mouth shut, Brother Cold. Amen. I know that'll be very hard. Amen. Amen. Brother Colt's got a good memory too, because he wouldn't have to worry about forgetting what I told him last week. He's got a great memory. All right, it's in the Bible 3 times. That's all. The word misery is in the Bible 7 times. That's all. And God here said he's the God of all mercy, the God of all comfort. He comforts us that we be able to comfort others in any tribulation. I made a mistake, honestly. I made a mistake for years looking at this verse of scripture right here. I've taught people that what you're going through in your life as far as the trouble, the tribulation, that you'd be able to help somebody that's going through the same thing. That's true. But that's not what this verse said. In other words, the Holy Ghost of God and God comforts us that we can comfort someone that's, what's the word? In any. You see that right there? We don't have to go through the exact same thing to know that the exact same God will give the exact same peace when there's a need and comfort that individual or that family. And yet the world tonight is full of miserable people. Miserable people. I'm going to say this tonight. I don't think it's true of our church at all. I have not one individual in my mind. But I believe that churches in America are sitting full of a lot of people that are miserable. There's no joy. All they want to do is fight. All they want to do is argue. All they want to do is have their way. How many knows what I'm talking about? It's like not the politics of Republican and Democrat and independents, but it's like the church is it's just full of politics. You know, you got to get on this side or get on that side. Well, I tell you what we need to be concerned about tonight is we're on his side. And that's all that really matters. Amen. Pray with me just a moment. Let me look at this tonight. Has school started back? It has. That means I should try to get done by 8 o'clock tonight. That's going to be very difficult. Pray for me. Let's pray. Father, thank you tonight for the privilege to come and, Lord, to open the Bible. Thank you, Lord, that you are our God and, Lord, that you are the God of all comfort. Thank you, Lord, tonight for the preachers in our church. God, you've spoken to and called. You're using them, our God, for your glory. I pray you keep your hand upon them, Lord. Keep your hand upon our church. God, these meetings that are coming up, Lord, we pray that they'd not just be meetings, but Lord, there'd be a time when you would meet with your people. God, that you'd encourage your people. Lord, I pray tonight for those that are here in the meeting tonight that need that blessed touch of the Holy Ghost and the comfort, Lord, that you offer through the Spirit of God. Lord, you said when you went away, you'd send another comforter, one just like you. Lord, the Holy Spirit came in the world. He's doing his office work tonight. Lord, if it wasn't for him, we'd all go crazy. Lord, thank you tonight for coming down here among us, not just to live and to die and be raised from the dead, then the Holy Spirit coming to dwell, to never leave us, to never forsake us, knowing what we need, our Lord, tonight, even before we ask. God, I pray tonight you'd meet with your people. In Jesus' precious name, amen and amen. What I'd like to do tonight, just to introduce the message, is look at just a couple of passages of Scripture. Turn to Judges, first of all. Joshua, Judges, then Ruth. Judges chapter 10 and verse number 16. Judges chapter number 10 and verse number 16. This is the first time the word misery is mentioned in the Word of God. We heard a wonderful message, Brother Colt. I talked about a little bit there in the visitation about that first mention of the Spirit of God moving. Here's the first mention of the word misery in the Bible. Chapter 10, verse 16. The Bible said, "And they put away the strange gods from among them and served the Lord. And his soul was grieved for the misery of Israel." And so we see tonight that they had a strange God and it caused them to be miserable. And I believe tonight that in America, many have a strange God. Some have the God of politics. Some have the God of money. Some have the God of prestige and power. Some have the sports god, and there are all kinds of gods out there, little G-O-D-S's. But the God of all comfort doesn't have an S on the end of it. Not spelled with a little G, spelled with a big G. There's only one Lord, one faith, and one baptism. So we see where the misery comes from. It's when the creation gets away from their Creator and tries to plug something in their life to take the place of the one that created them. And it's a strange God. Look with me, if you will, at the last time. I'm just introducing the message tonight. And just look at the last time the word misery is used in the Word of God. Look at Romans chapter 3 with me in verse number 16. I guess I should read this in its context, or at least read a few verses. "There's none righteous, no, not one," in verse 10. "There's none that understandeth, there's none that seeketh after God," in verse 11. Verse 12, "They're all gone out of the way, they're together, become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulchre, their tongues they've used deceit, the poison of asp is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways." That's the last time that the word misery is mentioned in the Word of God. We're living in a day. Somebody said, I don't wonder why somebody would pick up a rifle and go into a crowd of people and kill as many people as they can. I'm going to tell you what you're looking at. You're looking at a person that's without God and a person that's miserable in this walk of life. Amen. Misery and destruction are in their ways. And what's verse 17 say? And the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. I'm going to tell you something, beloved. Listen to me carefully. To defend yourself against harm is one thing, but to go out and harm others for no reason, that's a whole different ball game. And I believe the reason that people are doing it, they're miserable, they have no peace, and there's no fear of God before their eyes. Because, beloved, if they feared God, they would know that they're fixing to raise their eyes in the region of the damned when they go into that horrendous act that they're doing. Beloved, I want to give you tonight three things quickly. I'm not going to be able to get into all that I wanted to in the book of Job. But let's go to Job chapter 16, verse number 2. For the first time, the word miserable is mentioned. Let me ask you a question tonight. How many of you know someone that you believe, you're not judging them, but as you, observe their life, their lifestyle, their language, how many of you know someone that you believe to be a miserable individual? How many of you know somebody like that? Now let me ask you this. How many remember when you were miserable? How many remember when you had no peace? How many remembers when there was no fear of God before your eyes? Amen. I believe tonight with all of my heart that we should understand that God wants to use us, according to Corinthians, to help others that are miserable to be able to come to a place in their life of faith in Jesus Christ, of being born again, having a purpose and a reason to live. I wonder tonight, as our young'uns go back to high school and our young'uns go to college, Aubrey's off to college this year, and Papaw's feeling old about it, amen? But I'm telling you, I wonder tonight, how many of those young'uns, those college-age young'uns, have no purpose and they're miserable in their heart and in their life tonight and don't understand somebody that has joy. Don't understand somebody that would invest time in the Bible, would invest time in prayer, would invest time in going to church. Sister Shelby sent me a text yesterday. Somewhere on their trip, they're down, I think they went to Pigeon Forge camping, and somewhere they saw a billboard that said, don't try church, try Satan. And they got a website. Well, let me tell you something right now. There's a whole lot of people in this world that don't even need a website. That's all they've done all their life is live for the devil, amen? And they're miserable. They're miserable. You say, preacher, what should we do? Well, I believe we ought to pray for them. And I believe we ought to try to help them, amen? But I'm going to tell you something right now. There's a lot of people that are miserable. I want you to see this tonight. Look at Job chapter 16 and verse number 2. Job chapter 16 and verse number 2. This is the first time the word miserable is used in the Word of God. Boy, I thank the Lord for how He started this off tonight. I just now remembered exactly, I think, what this verse said. I believe I've got the wrong verse here. Let me look at something just a minute. Let me look here just a moment. No, I've got the right verse. Did I say 16 and verse 2? Okay, I'm just looking at my Bible through these glasses a little bit wrong. Verse 1 is not identified. Then Job answered and said in verse number 1, here's our text. I have heard many such things. Miserable comforters are ye all. I have many references wrote down tonight concerning Eliphaz and Bildad and Zophar, and we're not going to take the time to go into them. But these men sat in judgment over Job. I worded it like this. With friends like these, who needs enemies? Job is in a bad place. Job has lost his fortune, his family. He's lost the farm, so to speak. He's lost his health now. He's covered in boils from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet. Let's just look at some examples tonight of what I'm talking about. Look with me, if you will, at chapter 4. And down, we'll start reading in verse number 1. Then Eliphaz the Temanite answered and said, "If we essay to commune with thee, wilt thou be grieved? But who can withhold himself from speaking? Behold, thou hast instructed many, and thou hast strengthened the weak hands. Thy words have upholden him that was falling, and thou hast strengthened the feeble knees. But now it has come upon thee, and thou faintest." I'm talking early on, beloved. This so-called friend of Job, amen, is going to give it to him. "It toucheth thee, and thou art troubled. Is not this thy fear, thy confidence, thy hope, and the uprightness of thy ways? Remember, I pray thee, whoever perished, being innocent." In other words, Mr. Job, you're not innocent. That's why you're perishing. I'm going to tell you, it's a bad, bad, bad mistake to ever look at an individual and think you know why they're going through what they're going through. I'm going to tell you what, they'll be blessed if God lets them know why they're going through what they're going through, let alone somebody else sitting in judgment over them. Amen. I'm telling you tonight, the Bible is talking here. The first point in my message with that word miserable is Job found no help. No help. He didn't get any help from these so-called friends. Beloved, it reminds me, I'm not going to take the time to read it, but over there in, I believe it was the book of Psalms, chapter 142, early on in the chapter, David was in the cave hiding from Saul. He said, "I looked on my right hand and no man cared for my soul." You know what I believe tonight? I believe every one of God's people ought to shout, because thank God we belong to the body of Christ. Thank God we have friends that will not sit in judgment over us, but will lift us up in prayer. Amen. And not to try to figure it out, but just try to have faith in God that God is at work in our lives. Let me remind you of something. Whatever our friends are going through tonight, we may be going through before the sun goes down. Amen. Somebody's having trouble with a child. And maybe a teenager, or maybe a young adult that's rebelled. I'm telling you, beloved, I heard one preacher say, he said, "I knew exactly how to raise kids until mine became teenagers." Tell you all about it. Tell you about all the mistakes. No, it's not going to be long. You're going to realize that God made those kids individuals. Yes, we can point them, and yes, we can lead them, and yes, we can pray for them, and yes, we should take them to the house of God, and yes, we should pray with them, but I'm telling you right now, they're individuals, and they will ultimately choose the direction for their life that they want to go in. The Bible's talking here about, in the first mention of the word miserable, there's no help. He said, "Remember, I pray thee, in verse 7, whoever perished being innocent, or where were the righteous cut off? Even as I have seen, they that plow iniquity and sow wickedness reap the same." You see what he's saying to Job? You see, can anybody get a hold of that? Beloved, is that the way we're supposed to comfort someone? With the comfort wherewith we're comforted of God? No, it's not. Amen. By the Bible said, by verse 9, "By the blast of God they perish, and by the breath of his nostrils are they consumed. The roaring of the lion and the voice of the fierce lion and the teeth of young lions are broken." I want you to see another example quickly. Bildad, look at chapter number 8. We're not going to be able to go into all of this, but I'll just give you a couple of examples real quickly. Bildad in chapter number 8, this is another one of Job's friends. He thinks Job's a hypocrite. "Then answered Bildad the Shuhite and said," you know, what if, beloved, listen to me carefully. How many knows why Job's going through what he's going through? There's a contest going on. Say amen. Can I tell you something tonight? It's still going on. Brother Colt, that message we heard about Dangerous Dan, about that war with the wolf. Everybody's still at war with a wolf. How many understands what I just said? Amen. You got flesh, I got flesh. The flesh lusteth against the spirit, the word of God said. They fight one another. Watch what the Bible said. Then answered Bildad in chapter 8, verse 1, the Shuhite, and said, how long wilt thou speak these things? And how long shall the words of thy mouth be like a strong wind? Doth God pervert judgment? Or doth the Almighty pervert justice? If thy children have sinned against him, oh, can you imagine how that hurts the heart of the man of God? He just buried 10 of his youngins. If thy children have sinned against him and have cast them, and he hath cast them away for their transgression, if thou wouldest seek unto God betimes and make thy supplication to the Almighty, if thou wert pure and upright, surely now he would awake for thee and make the habitation of thy righteousness prosperous. He's in as much as saying, your God's asleep, Job. Amen. And if you'd do what's right, he'd wake up and he'd help you. I'm going to tell you something tonight. Listen to me carefully. You and I are going to go through some valleys. You read the Psalms, and we're going to say, where are you, Lord? I know you're there. But Lord, I want to feel your presence the way I used to. Here in the Word of God, there's no help for Job. I thought about this when God worked in my heart with this message. I thank God for the help that he's put in my life. I thank God for a precious wife, Brother Gary, that when it seems like I can't get my chin up off the floor, she's not there to step on the top of my head and see if she can make my chin grow lower. She's there to help me. She's there to remind me. I don't like it either when she says stuff like, don't you believe what you preach? Some of you ladies are grinning. You're going to use that, ain't you? Amen. Don't you believe what Pastor told us? Don't you believe what the Word of God said? Yes. Beloved, listen tonight. I'm glad I have help. Not just with my help meet that God gave me, with the precious people. I don't know if y'all remember it or not. I didn't plan on saying this tonight. But the first message that I preached after that God sealed it in my heart that he wanted me to come here was about the shepherd. He's someone to lead the sheep. Everybody knows that. He's someone to feed the sheep, and everybody knows that. Do y'all remember what the third thing was? He's someone who needs the sheep. You see, I'd heard all kinds of preaching, Brother Ike, in my life on how sheep need a shepherd. But never had I heard anybody magnify that the shepherd needs the sheep. He needs the sheep to pray for him. He needs the sheep to forgive him when he blows it. He needs the sheep to realize that he's not God. He'll make mistakes. And to lift him up in prayer. Amen. I told Brother Jones that, I guess the first meeting he was here with us. Brother Jones is a well-read, well-studied man. If you listen to him preach, you'll find that out, but he's humble. You'd never know it talking to him at the dinner table. I told him what God showed me over there in Peter, and he said, Brother Vinoy, you didn't read that in a commentary. He said, I've read them all. That's what he said. The shepherd needs the sheep. I hope y'all, these 6 years, you've never forgotten that. I hope you never do. The shepherd needs the sheep. Yes, sheep need a shepherd. They do. But it goes both ways. Amen. And by the way, that's the way with friendship. It goes both ways. If you're low today and I'm going to be your friend, I need to realize I may be low tomorrow and I may need you to be my friend. Well, beloved, time is racing. No help. Absolutely no help. Look at chapter 11 quickly. We'll show you another one of Job's friends. Job, I really believe what we're going to have to do now is break this message down. There's just no way. I just can't run. I just can't run through it. The rest of it, we'll just try to get this first thing. There's no help. Miserable. Miserable comforters are ye all. That's what Job said. He found no help. Look at chapter 11 and verse number 1. Then answered Zophar the Naamathite and said, should not the multitude of words be answered? And should a man full of talk be justified? Should thy lies make men hold their peace? And when thou mocked, shall no man make thee ashamed? He thought it his duty, Brother Steve, to make Job ashamed. Dear God, help us tonight. I believe with all of my heart, one of the reasons that men are miserable is because they find no help. Let me say this to you tonight. I'm not trying to toot Bible Way's horn. But if we'll continue to try to help people that have found no help, God will bless us for that. That missionary that was here Sunday night going into that one city, did he say 7 million people in Santiago? Is that how he say it? Santiago in Chile? 7 million people in one city. Beloved, I'm going to tell you something. They're not going to find the help they need. A lot of men wouldn't say this, but they're not going to find it in Catholicism. They're going to find it in Christ. And they need someone to come alongside and be a help to them. I believe what the Bible is teaching us here in the first mention of the word miserable is it is a result of men like David looking on their right hand. No man cared for my soul. Brother John, you'll like this. Brother John gave me 4 tickets to a ball game. They were given to him, and he passed them on to me, and that was a blessing. Well, we went to the ball game last night, and I wondered, what am I going to do with that extra ticket? So I asked Brother Rick. I said, Brother Rick, you think somebody'd like to have that extra ticket? He said, oh, I guarantee you they would. And I didn't have my thinking cap on just exactly right, or I would have told him this. I gave it to a man. I said, sir, would you like to have this ticket? Oh, yes. Well, there was another ticket went with it, Brother Cole. one of them little tickets, Brother Steve. You know what I'm talking about. I said, sir, if I give you this, will you watch this video? He said he would. I said, do you promise? He said, I promise you I will. Well, if I'd have had my thinking cap on, I'd have said, now this is a ticket to the game and this is a ticket to glory. Amen. But I didn't think about it that way. But he promised to watch. Wouldn't that be something, Brother John, if the reason that you was wore out is because God wanted somebody to hear the gospel? Wouldn't that be something? How many believes God can work that way? Amen. Eliphaz, Bildad, and Zophar. Job said, miserable comforters are ye all. I just want to say this tonight in closing. I think we ought to take some extra time tonight. I'm talking about in our prayer life. I'm talking about in our daily life. Brother Gary, just thank God for the friends that he's put in our life. I visited the hospital last night. Brother Vic was over at the hospital. And Brother Gary, he was thanking God for you and Sister Reba. I'm not saying that to build them up. There's all kinds of that stuff goes on in our church. But you know what? That blessed this pastor's heart. Amen? That laying there, the doctors are saying it's time to call hospice in. And Vic is saying, no, I'm not ready for that. but he's got friends. He bragged on his wife last night, on Sister Sandy. He said, God has given me a good wife. And I'm telling you, I believe if we're not careful, and he's with me right here, we'll take for granted some of the greatest blessings that man has ever experienced. A good wife, good young'uns, mostly good grand-young'uns. You think Sawyer's good all the time, you're crazy. Amen. Amen. A good church. The right Bible. Access to the throne of grace. And when you get right down to it, Brother Kenny, the songwriter said, what a friend we have in Jesus. Job didn't need somebody to call him a liar. He didn't need somebody to call him a hypocrite. He just needed somebody to come alongside and say, Job, I know you don't know why, and we don't know why, but we do know the one who does know why. Let's talk to him about it. Anything we can do for you, Job? You know, I don't know. I can't be dogmatic. I don't know how long Job was covered with those boils, but Brother Rose, I believe the Bible said he took that potsherd and scraped. Maybe their time would have been a lot better spent scraping. Help me tonight. Just said, Job, pull your shirt up and let's see what we can do for you back. Let's see if we can help you. Put your feet up here, Job, and let's see if we can scrape some of this off the bottom of your feet. I say this tonight. The Bible said to have friends, man must first show himself friendly. And I believe tonight that when you come to know Christ as your Savior, you've met the greatest friend the world's ever had. And I really believe that one of the things that's just an automatic instinct is you want to be a friend to someone else along life's way. Miserable. Tonight, I want to stand here and just thank God that I'm not miserable. That I have Jesus. I have the Spirit of God. I have a place in the body of Christ to serve Him. I have a purpose in life. I have joy in my heart. I have a reason to live. Amen. How many's glad you come tonight? How many's glad you're not miserable tonight? Amen. I go back, Miss Eve, and think about those early days in our marriage, honey. I'm not going to go into it, but that lady sitting right over there, I tell you, I was a miserable man. And it wasn't enough just for me to be a miserable man. I wanted everybody else to be miserable too. There's only one reason that our marriage made it. That's the grace of God. God was looking at the big picture when all I could see in misery was the little picture. God's been good to me. Thank you for coming tonight.